So it's Parshas Bereishis in the year 770. I hope the Chabad Hasidim are taking note. If the Rebbe's not coming back this year, he's not coming back, you know. Bereishis bara elokim es hashamayim ves haaretz. So I wanted to learn over a piece of the Kedushas Levi from Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev, and you know, his sefer Kedushas Levi is built on one idea that God is at the center of everything, and it's not about us. And for some reason, you know, Reb Levi Yitzchak Berditchev is not seen as the central thinker of Hasidus, and yet in some ways he really should be. It should be impossible to learn any Hasidus without coming to the Kedushas Levi because of this idea that he says, Haklal, this is how he opens up the Kedushas Levi. Haklal shehaboyre burichi boro hakoil vuhu hakoil. God created everything and he is everything. That's it. God created everything and he is everything. You know, it's very hard to say that in any, you know, philosophical way or metaphysical way. What do you mean God is? God is not everything. God is everything that is not created, right? But Reb Levi Yitzchak Berditchev has a specific idea that, and in this first Torah in Kedushas Levi, really the whole Kedushas Levi is there encapsulated. He says, Ki b'chol rega mashpia shefa lebro. Every moment God is flowing into creation, to all the worlds, all the heichels, all the angels, everything, God flows into them. And that's why we say Yoitzer. God is the creator. Yoitzer oyre voyre choshech. God creates, forms. We don't say Yotzer, because Yotzer is in the past tense. He did it already. And that's not the truth. The truth is that God is the Yoitzer and he's the Boirer. Every moment it's flowing from God. Everything is flowing from God every moment. So this idea that God created and that creation is finished, completed, some in any way whatsoever done, that is not the meaning. That's not the truth. And vahu kolul mehakoil. He says, and God is everything. He's included in everything. He's made up of everything. So he says, what that means in practice, kishodam bo le'ein. If a person can become the nothing, v'yodea shu'ein eklum, and he knows, if a person could know that he's nothing, rakaboy rebaruch noisim boy koyach. If a person can really feel at a moment, at a given moment, that he doesn't exist. What am I? I am a thought in the mind of God, flowing from potential to reality. I am becoming, but I don't exist. I'm just a kavono. I'm an intention. That's all I ever was. It's all I ever will be. I can't be more than that. I'm just a thought in the mind of God. A picture God is going to draw. A word that God is going to speak. I'm going to become. but I don't exist. If a person can be in that ain, in that nothing, if a person can know that he's not, doesn't have real physical existence, that only God is real. So at that moment, you're making God the Yotzer. You're saying to God, you are my creator in the present tense. But if a person really feels that he has a real existence, kishe'odam mistakel ba'atzmoy, if a person can actually look at himself, ve'ena mistakel ba'im, and not see nothing, but see something, if a person can actually see himself, then you're not looking at the ain. Then it's a yesh. A person say, I exist. I'm looking at the yesh. Then what you're really saying is that God was the creator in the past. He was the yotzer. It's already done. So that's why we say, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, asher yotzer es ha'odam bechochma. So the Kedushas Levi points out, why there do we say yotzer in the past tense? You created me with Chachma. Ah, because Chachma, the sphere of Chachma we were learning so often, is Yesh Me'ayin, something from nothing. So if we're talking about Chachma, yeah, then we're talking about Yesh. If we're talking about Yesh, then the creation was in the past tense. If I go higher than Chachma, if I go to Keser, then I'm in the Ein. And that's why the Kedushas Levi says, the Heilige Bedichtschrift says, that's why the Arizal says, when I'm saying Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch, when I'm saying Hashem Melech, I'm saying God is the Yotzer. Hashem Moloch, I'm saying God is the Yotzer. So Hashem Melech means I don't exist. Adoin Olam Hashem Molach B'terem Kol Yitzir Nivro. Right? Rabbeinu Shalom, you know, your Melech, both before creation, after creation. Azai Melech Shmoy Nikro, how can you say God was already the king before creation, and now that you've created him, now you're king? The Adoin Olam contains this paradox, because we only achieve functional reality when we achieve the level of Ein. When I say Hashem Melech now, God is the Melech now, is because I'm saying God is the Yotzer now. God is the Creator now. Why is God the Creator? Because I don't exist yet. It hasn't reached me yet. The Chayas, the life force is reaching me, but I haven't come into existence yet. I'm still just coming into being. I don't have reality. Just, I'm about to become. At this moment in time, only God exists. And you know, the Bedichtschrift says, if we're talking about Yesh, something that exists has to obey the laws of nature. But something that doesn't exist, if it's at the level of Ein, why should it have to live under the laws of nature? It doesn't exist yet. So, if I can be in my Ein, that I don't exist, and that I'm mishtoikek all the time, I'm just longing for God to bring me into existence, because that's what God wants, and I'm ready. I feel every moment that I'm about to become. If I can live like that, then I don't have to live under the laws of nature, because I'm mamish living with Ein. So the Bodhisattva goes on to say, so how do I connect the world of Yesh and the world of Ein? That's through the Torah and the mitzvahs. And we were learning in Sefer Yetzirah, it says, in Pasuk in Yecheskel, v'hachayas rotzu v'shoiv, the living creatures, they run, and they run forwards, they run backwards. We said rotzoi is bechinas rotzoin. So there's two essences of the mitzvah. There's the mitzvah disgalia, there's the revealed part of the mitzvah, and then there's the hidden part of the mitzvah. The hidden part of the mitzvah is the nachas, the pleasure that we give God. We can't see. We can't really have any idea what we do for God with our mitzvah. That's completely nista. What we do for ourselves, the pleasure we get from the mitzvah, that we can know. So this is the two sides, the yesh and the ein. So not only philosophically can I live in the Ein, or not only in my Kavona can I try and be in that moment of Ein, but also I can connect the world of Yesh and Ein with a mitzvah in the understanding that there's the mitzvah that I'm doing, of which I'm a part, and I've, you know, the cheshik that I've got for the mitzvah, the hislahavis, the passion that I've got from the mitzvah, the feeling that I get doing the mitzvah, the sensation in my hands and legs and body as I'm doing the mitzvah, that's all the yesh part of the mitzvah. And then there's the ein part of the mitzvah, which is whatever nachas ruach, whatever pleasure my obedience and my action is giving the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that's the hidden part of the mitzvah. And so in doing that, I'm able to connect the world of yesh and the world of ein. So he says that's the meaning of the pasuk Bereishis Boro Elokim. The first thing that God made is Reishis. And the word Reishis contains the word Yesh. So before Shemayim and Oretz come into being, God creates the Yesh. And the only way that I can really know what yesh is by connecting it with the ein. Because if I live in the yesh, then it's all in the past, and I will never know what creation feels like, because it already happened to me. So if I can live in the now, meaning that I can live as a person who doesn't exist, as a person who's on the cusp of existence, then I can really have an appreciation of what the beginning really is, what Bria really is, what creation really is. And that's why the Targum says Bereshis, he calls it Bechochmasa, the Targum Yerushalmi, because Chochma is Yesh. So Bereshis, the first creation, is the creation of Yesh. And how is that brought into being? Through Chochma, which is Yesh Me'ayin. One of the things that the Heli Bodhisattva doesn't tell us is really what's the mechanics of Ein and Yesh. You know? How does it come about that a person can live in that feeling of I don't really exist? It's hard to imagine any other creature should have this existential suffix. Am I really? I can't imagine a horse or a dog thinking to himself, do I really exist? You know. Where does this come from that we have this ability to go into the moment of Yesh Me'ayin, in fact, to the moment before Yesh Me'ayin? So, We were learning last year, or 2 years ago, I forget, the Beis Yaakov, who goes, you know, Beis Yaakov was son of the Meir Shiloyach, and he talks about what his father said. His Mevaya, the Torah says that God says to Adam, Mikol Eitz Hagan Ochel Toichel, you should eat from every tree of the garden, from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, don't eat. And the Meshlech says that, in fact, Adam Arishan obeyed, and he never ate from the tree of knowledge of evil. And so the Beis Yaakov says, first of all, he says that the Torah only tells us Ve'etz ha'chaim b'toich ha'gan, that the Eitz ha'chaim was in the garden, and doesn't talk about the Eitz ha'das tovera. And he's got an interesting thesis. He says that the Eitz ha'chaim and the Eitz ha'das are one tree, and that it just depends whereabouts you are in the garden. If you're in the future, if you're in Olam Habo, then it's the Eitz Chaim. If you're in Olam Hazeh, then you're in Eitz Hadas. It's the same tree. It's not clear. It's pretty radical that in fact the Eitz Chaim and the Eitz Hadas are the one tree. But he says like this: God never says to Adam Arishon that he ate from the tree of knowledge. God only ever asks Adam Arishon, Hamin ho eitz, asher tzivitzichol bilti achomim menachol, have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? There's no hachloto, there's no decision, there's no like adjudication. Oh yes, you did wrong, you ate. Doesn't say that. God never says. So who says we ate? And this is the Beis Yaakov explaining the whole Ishbitzu Torah in one sentence. You know who says we ate? We said we ate. That was the mistake. And how did it come about? Because God shouted, Hamin ha'etz, have you eaten from the tree? At that moment, that shout sets up this confusion which never ends. And remember, we were learning on Purim, the Gemara asks, Minayin remez lahoman min ha'Torah, where is there a hint to Haman from the Torah? And it brings this pasuk, Hamin ha'etz, have you eaten from this tree? Don't read it, Hamin al ha'Haman. Right? And the Tiferes Yosef was saying that what that means is like, how could Haman scare us so much that we thought that we were going to all be killed? What was the koyach? So the Gemara says, oh, Lamo nischaivu, why did the Yidden deserve to be punished? Because they bowed down to a tzelem. One says, really? They bowed down to tzelem, they worshipped idols? They thought they worshipped idols. What does that mean? That this shout that God shouted at Adam Arishon, Hamin ha'etz, have you eaten from it? That sets up a resonant dissonance in the mind of Adam Arishon. He's never ever able to sort his thoughts again. See, when Adam Arishon looks into the future, he sees David HaMelech. What's so special about David HaMelech? David HaMelech doesn't hear the shout. For David HaMelech, the shout was gone. David HaMelech was very clear. when he did wrong and when he didn't do wrong. He was never in any doubt whether he deserves destruction or doesn't deserve destruction. Even at the Mass of Bar Sheva, he said to Rabbi Shalom, Libi Cholabakibi, you know, my Yitzhara is dead. I don't have a Yitzhara. What do you mean he doesn't have a Yitzhara? Because he always knew. David HaMelech always knew he's connected to God. He's made by God. He's never cut off from God. When Adam HaRishon looked into the future and saw David HaMelech, he realized that's the fixing. The first human being who had quiet inside his head was David HaMelech. We all walk around with so much confusion. Where does the confusion come from? It comes from God shouting, Hamin ha'etz. Have you eaten? Just hearing God shout at me, have you eaten? It's like, I don't know. Did I eat? Did I? I can't even answer the question. Did I? I didn't. I can't sort it out. It's just rattling around this question in my head. Did I really? I don't know. I can't answer the question. If God can't answer the question, how can I answer? He didn't tell me, did I or didn't I? According to the Ishbitzer, this is the whole problem. If we could just make it go quiet and decide, did I or didn't I? You kill the Yetzirah, stone dead. That itself is the Yetzirah. The confusion that I have, I don't know what's going on. It's the Hester. How can God be hidden in the universe? Well, you know how God can be hidden in the universe. As there's so much noise going on in my head, I can't see God. I can't hear God. I can't hear myself. I can't see myself. There's this angst. There's this confusion. It's a tumult. It's a tumult. One of those Yiddish words, English words, they mean the same thing, right? Es ist zu tumult. And there's fear because I don't know what's going on. And I'm always in doubt. And that's why when Haman said to Ahasuerus, let's kill all the Yidden, and the Yidden are going, yeah, we deserve to die. We're mamish, we cut off, we did the worst possible thing. Yeah, I go to shul, and the Rav is talking about how, you know, maybe last year if we would have cried hard on Yom Kippur, so many bad things wouldn't have happened this year. See, as soon as the Yidden realized that nothing that they had done, nothing that they could do, would provoke God into destroying them, lock, stock, and barrel, all of them. Anoshim noshim v'taf b'yom echad b'shloishos l'chodesh adar. No, the moment they realized it can't be such a thing, that's when the Yeshua came. So who decides if we've eaten from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? If God asks the question, it's we decide. So when are we going to decide that we didn't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? When are we going to realize that in fact we obeyed the command that God says, Mikol Eitz Hagan Ochel Toichel, you should eat from every tree of the garden, Umi Eitz Adas Toiv, and from the tree of knowledge of good? And that's what we did. V'ralo Yisoichel Mimeno, and you shouldn't eat any of the bad of it. No, we didn't eat any of the bad of it. Are we waiting for God to sort it out for us? God says, don't wait for me. That's the reason that you're here in this world. It's because I want you to figure it out. I want you to figure out how to make the noise in your head go quiet and shush and zash still. And you know, like somebody says, like a whole committee going on. I've got a whole committee going on inside my head, you know. And it used to be that the loudest voice was, you know, have a drink, get high. And then when I stopped listening to that voice, then the next loudest voice was, it's her fault, it's your wife's fault. He says, and now, after all these years, I've realized I'm the chairman of the board. I can say thank you, gentlemen, thank you, ladies, thanks for sharing. Quiet. Now this is what we're going to do. And the Ishbitz is saying this is really what humanity needs to do. We need to be able to turn to God and to, like David HaMelech turned to God and say, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, I'm Yitzir Kapecho. I am exactly who you made. And I'm the way you made me. And the Neus Desh has a very interesting Torah. He says, Adam Arishon, he met Cain, and he said, Ma yotze bedinoch? You know, what happened to you? You killed your brother. He says, I did teshuva, and I was forgiven half. Because God said, no v'nod. And then it says, and he settled in the land of Nod, and so half at least was forgiven. So the Medrash says that Adam Arishon started to bang his head. He said, you could do teshuva, and it's and you can be forgiven. I didn't know that. So it's a very long noise desha, but he brings Aaron a coin. It says kach. God says to Moshe, go to your brother and take your brother. So Rashi brings from the Medrash, take him with words. So Aaron really he did the Masa Egel, and he thought that all four of his children were going to have to die, and only two of them died. So like this is like half, you know, he was mispalel, Moshe davened for him, and only two of his children died, and similar to the story of Cain, who gets half, you know, his conviction remanded, and half the sentence So the Neus Desh learns it just the opposite way of the normal understanding of the Medrash, that Adam Arishon, when he started to bang his head and say, how come I didn't know that you could do teshuva and it's forgiven? His question was, how come God didn't tell me to do teshuva? How come my son Cain, the murderer, who murders his brother, how come God gives him the idea of doing teshuva, and me, God doesn't give the idea of doing teshuva? And the answer is, because Adam Arishon never sinned. That's the answer, says the Neus Desh. Because God didn't say to him, you sinned. He says, Haminu, did you sin? The sin is only going on in Adam Arishon's mind. And what's the comfort? We're telling Adam Arishon, if you really had sinned, then God would have put in your mind to do teshuva, like he put in Cain's mind. The fact that God didn't put in your mind to do teshuva is because God is telling you, Adam, stop worrying. You didn't really sin. And that's why Aaron HaKohen, he says, oi, if I hadn't left it up to Moshe to daven for me, if I had davened for myself, then maybe with my tefillahs I could have saved my other two children. So, kach oisei bedvorim, God says to Moshe, go take your brother with words, meaning, tell him the same message that was given to Adam Arishon. Aaron, if you had really sinned by the ego, God would have taki given you the idea to do teshuva. The fact that you didn't do teshuva and you haven't davened is not because you're less than, but it's just the opposite. Because it was no, you never did the avera. And so Moshe davened for you, but the reason it never occurred to you to daven is because really, really, I'm telling you, says God, you never really did an avera that you need to daven for. Just like the Maharishi never really needed to do tshuva for eating from the tree of knowledge. And he's banging himself on his head, but he doesn't realize that that's the nechama. If we try and use this to understand what Reb Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev is saying when we talk about the Ein, you know, part of the reason it's so difficult to get in touch with the Ein of who I am is because of all the noise that goes on in the head. And if I can make it go quiet a little bit and stop all the blame and stop believing that I, you know, ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil and stop believing that I made the egel, and just make it go quiet. And then I can understand, you know, I can face to face with Ribbono Shel Olam and say, Mucha Esmo Elisi Mutal Goylem Lefanecha. Yesterday I was gunished. I was just a goylem lying there. I was clay. You made me. And you're breathing into me the life that I'm, the speech that I'm speaking. It's you breathing it into me. If I could mamash be in this hischabrus of the connection of who I am and God making me. See, that's the difficulties to be in that moment of that's to be able to sustain and to be in the realization, the awareness that I am this moment being created. But in order to get into that moment, I have to switch off all the blaming. Because the blaming means that I, Heshivach, have free will to act, to do things, to have done things. And to be in the moment of the Ein is to really accept that there never was such a person, such an independent creature as Heshivach, that there is only the Ribbono Shel Olam who is making me at every moment. I need to be afraid of the Aveira. I need to be afraid of being cut off. But now in this moment, Chalila, how could I think such a thing? I'm only just now being made. I'm only just now having the life force breathed into me. And it's not just true for me, it's true for you, it's true for everybody, it's true for the whole world. As soon as we realize that, then it turns out we never ate from the tree of knowledge of evil.